The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Thank you for your very warm welcome. It's been a fast weekend. I flew over the Atlantic on Thursday, got to Elk River late Thursday evening, and began on Friday, fifth session. We're winding down our weekend together. It's so good to see friends from the community, friends from afar. Friendship is everything in the kingdom of heaven. Friendship is absolutely everything in life. And we are so grateful for the friendships that we have indeed enjoyed over the years at Living Waters Church. I have an incredible history with Living Waters Church. And it all began in Scotland in 1997 when I met Alice Sharping. So it's all Alice's fault. We have someone to blame. It's Alice. But I remember Alice saying to me when I drove her to the airport when she was returning to the USA, "I would love you to meet my pastor, Bob Poolar. If you ever come to America, let me know and I will recommend you to him." The rest is history. Now the issue is getting rid of me. I keep coming back. But I hope we are together and believe we will be together until death us do part. That's the confidence I have in my relationship with Living Waters Church. I'm not believing to die soon either. I want to burn up a few more miles and see the goodness of the Lord whilst I'm in the land of the living. So we've had an interesting weekend looking at the theme, our internal architecture. We've gone on a journey. I must confess to you, I have never taught this before. It's the direction of the Lord in my own life. I have been seeded with this truth. It's beginning to grow and develop in me. So we really have been learning together this weekend. But at the heart of my own faith is simply, I want a functional Christianity. I don't want a dysfunctional Christianity. And I want a faith that works. I want a faith that's as good on a Monday morning as it is on a Sunday morning. And that heart cry to the Lord over the last number of years has resulted in the Lord speaking to me frequently on this whole theme, how He works within our lives. Our internal architecture is absolutely everything because it's who we are. And when the Father is building our internal architecture, it comes out of our human spirit. It transforms our soul. It impacts our body. And then there is an influence in the world around us, the world that we occupy. And Friday evening, we looked at the process of internal development and how precise our internal development is. In terms of what God does in our journey, we begin as believers, grow in discipleship, serve out of our discipleship, then become friends of Jesus, where the Lord shares things with you and I as His friends that He would not share with everybody. The high position in our internal development is a son or daughter of God, and we can locate ourselves very quickly and identify where we are at in the developmental process. It also needs to be said, we never graduate from one level to another and leave what we have been behind. As we grow and develop from one level to another, we begin as believers but continue as believers. We grow as disciples but continue as disciples. We begin as servants, but continue to be servants. And yes, the deeper our friendship with Jesus goes, the more we will continue as a friend of Jesus. And of course, the elevated position as being a son of God. We are sons of God. We are daughters of God. But moving into the manifestation and revelation of that is another matter entirely. And Saturday morning, we looked at the truth. We are a people of holiness, and we roasted and toasted religious devils of guilt and condemnation. It's the religious spirit's double whammy, guilt and condemnation, and how that spirit has come after us over the years. I'm so glad the Holy Spirit's pursuing us now, rather than the religious spirit of guilt and condemnation. Last night we looked at the reality of a breakthrough spirit and what that means. We have all experienced in a Christian history a breakthrough spirit. It's in our past, but I believe the body of Christ is yearning more than anything right now for a fresh breakthrough spirit. And that's one of the things that gets me out of bed in the morning, knowing that's in my future, but I'm working towards it today in the grace of God. We looked at it the Sunday morning service. This morning, the correlation between the promises of God and our development, the promises of God and our development coalesce, they partner together. And we looked in some detail of what the promises of God actually are in our lives and the impact it has in our internal development. Tonight, as we wind down the message, and I hope, and I'm not committing myself to this, but I hope to finish in 30 minutes and then move into prophesying. 30 Scottish minutes. 30 minutes-ish. But we're going to look at some outcomes as we continue in the process of internal architecture. If you have a Bible, please turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 1, and 2 Peter, chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, and 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, all the way down to verse 8. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. In heaven, everyone will read the New American Standard Bible, except for the traditional evangelical community. They will remain with the King James Version. We all know how that's how Jesus really spoke. In Elizabethan English, he studied Shakespeare when he was a boy. I hope he's not listening to this. Amen. Revelation 1, verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. 2 Peter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus declared, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." Many of us who have been around a while in the kingdom of God began a journey as the charismatic movement was building up steam in the 1980s and the 1990s. And I believe as a Pentecostal charismatic church, we were entering into that title of Jesus as the Alpha and the Omega. The Pentecostal movement that began in 1906 in Azusa Street birthed an Alpha generation of believers that ran all the way through to the beginning of the new millennium. We began our journey as Alpha generation believers. Reflecting on that, it was so clear what God was birthing in me in the mid-1980s into Bible school in London in 1990 were the charismatic truths of an Alpha generation that had been running for 100 years. Very quickly in the new millennium, God began to switch off the frequency of the Holy Spirit in a number of areas, which for some churches was great crisis, and for some churches they never survived. They just simply collapsed and folded up because they were not at a place to transition out of the Alpha generation. The new signal that the Lord released upon the earth by his Holy Spirit was the Omega signal. We are, brothers and sisters, an Omega generation. We are at the beginning phases of the Lord stirring the church and seeding the church and moving towards the church for the final outpouring of the Holy Spirit before the return of Jesus. Discussing this and suggesting times and dates is not altogether wise. At one level, it's a dangerous thing to do. You can be seeding the body of Christ with confusion and speculation and foolish babblings if it's from a Scotsman. But all the indicators are we're at the end of the age. All of the prophetic words flowing through the body of Christ point to the church moving in to the final phase of a 2,000-year journey upon the face of the earth. But I'm convinced beyond any shadow of a doubt that we are an Omega generation. If we were from Mexico, we would be an Omigo generation. But that's another story. We'll settle for being an Omega generation. We've seen the testimony of Jesus, who was. Hands up if you've been a Christian any more than 30 years. Hands up, have you been a Christian any longer than 20 years? There's lots of 30 plus years believers in the house. You have seen the Lord who was. You've encountered the Lord who was. You have a personal history of the Alpha and Omega who was something or somebody in your life for a time and season. The perfect viewpoint of history enables you to look back and see exactly who the Lord was for you in previous seasons and what He did for you in previous seasons. And now, as we have transitioned from an Alpha generation to an Omega generation, the big question is discovering the Lord who is. And as their charismatic experience fades into time, I don't know about you, but there's something about me tries to take hold of that again when God's not looking. There's something about me would try and resurrect that again when days I feel kind of emotional and charismatically charged. Whether I like it or not, that generation is fading into time. What does it mean for you and I to embrace the Alpha and Omega who is? This weekend is reflecting something of what the Lord has on His heart for the church as He moves into the who isness. Forgive the appalling grammar. His who isness of the contemporary church. Truth be told, not all of the contemporary church can hear this message for different reasons. But we're living in the who is as a starting point and as a reflection of our ongoing transition. But the future we have as an Omega generation is not something we're trying to put together now. The key to moving forward accurately as an Omega generation is looking to the Lord, the one who is to come, the Almighty. The key to understanding where we are going as an Omega generation is listening to the future speaking to us. When we listen to the Lord as the Alpha, He is speaking to us about the past. He will bring to our remembrance the great things He did in and through us in the past. And I have a very positive, indeed powerful testimony of what the Lord did in me and through me when we were part of the Alpha generation. But the Omega generation is wholly dependent on the Omega of Christ Jesus speaking to you and I from the future. Yes, the Lord is in the present, but the Omega is Christ Jesus, the prophet, speaking to us, speaking to you and I from the future and inviting you and I to join Him in the future. That concept is worth marinating in our spirits. As we live in the spirit realm, as a people that are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, as people that are very much a people of the earth and their feet are firmly planted on earth's soil, in our spirit we are seated in heavenly places. And what a secure place to be at as we wind down our conference together on our internal architecture, knowing that the future is speaking to us this evening, knowing that the Lord who communicates is already in the future. And he's speaking to us from that place so we will be entirely secure and confident in the present. That's important because we're living in uncertain times, insecure times. The USA is becoming more vulnerable for invasion. And Mexico would be a nation that foreign forces, virulent forces like ISIS could enter the nation through. We're living in a time where there's great economic and political uncertainty. We're living in a time where America is seeking to rebrand herself and find a new identity. But the Lord reminds us, whilst we are in this world, we are not of this world. We are of the kingdom of God. And as we listen to the Lord's voice speaking to us from the future, I believe tonight, as we wind down this conference, he wants to speak directly to our character development. Many of us were characters before we knew the Lord and didn't find character development so crucial. That would be definitely true of me. I did not do character. I was a card-carrying character with a penchant for alcohol and women. It was wine, women, and song, and a lot of the time I was too busy to sing. So we all come from our own unique backgrounds. And we've all been on a journey where we have seen the Lord work in our lives. Probably most of us this evening have an internal disappointment of what we perceive to be the lack of character development in our own journey. Probably most of us are struggling with some of the issues we struggled with as a young Christian. We're thinking at times, how can I be a Christian so long and yet appear to lack godly character? That's a lie of the enemy. It's a big lie of the enemy because we've actually developed in a number of areas that reflect the holiness of God. It cannot be measured emotionally. It's as permanent and as much part of our lives in bad days as it is in good days. But I believe tonight, as the Lord is establishing us in his confidence and introducing us afresh to his security, he's going to give us some tools that we will begin a fresh phase of our development by engaging and fresh dependency on the Lord, that when he seeds us with this truth, we can work it through, not so much independently of God, but be confident enough in God to take steps forward in this next phase of our development. And then always to find like-minded people, and we do. When we change the friends God has prepared for us that reflect our development, seem to find us. It's quite incredible how that works through in practice. And then as a community, we practice interdependence, where we're interdependent with one another, collaborating, sharing, fellowshipping, encouraging. And all of this is going on without you and I having a plan or a strategy. It's going on because it's essentially relational in essence. Regardless of where you're at tonight as a believer, whether you're a recently new believer or have been on the road forever, one principle remains the same. And we read that principle in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. God's divine power is within us, and this is a precious truth that should make you and I more dependent on God and less dependent on man. This divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness. And it's within us. Everything pertaining to life and godliness. It means that God has met our needs through the glorious riches of Christ Jesus and then placed them all within us. We will all have needs in different areas of our life tonight and at different levels in our lives tonight. The truth is, the divine power of God within us has already granted us everything we need for our lives and godliness. There's a coalition force between the two, our lives and godliness. And it develops through the knowledge of him. It's not something that happens in a vacuum. As we move into revelatory knowledge, so we access God's divine power that manifests in our life, but more importantly, develops godly character within us. Man-centered holiness gives us white-knuckle Christianity. We discover we can't do it very quickly. Anytime I try and be good, it excites a mean spirit in me. I become more mean as the day goes on, like a Scottish version of Clint Eastwood staring at people and saying, "Go ahead, punk, make my day." I don't do very well at white-knuckled holiness. Yet everything my spirit yearns to be a good person. All I want to be is a good person, but I know the thorny bits in my personality. I know at least some of the wounded areas of my personality and the cantankerous thoughts and emotions that give my central nervous system a treat now and then, usually three times a day now and then. So when we go the way of God, when we flow in the way of God, we're accessing his divine power and living in a knowledge base that produces faith. Faith draws the divine power of God into our situations. Faith is neither a formula or a set of rules that we follow. Faith is a many splendid thing. And no matter what angle we look at faith from, we can guarantee this core truth that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Not necessarily a recital of scripture, although it's always good to read scripture, to speak scripture out loud. But when the promise of God becomes alive in our spirit, we can take possession of what God has promised us. But tonight we looked at the journey of character development in our internal architecture. I want to encourage you that probably none of us were born with a serious quotient of any of the character qualifications of our faith journey. So we begin as a people of repentance, and we discover that the only good that comes forth in our lives is the good Jesus brings. And that gives us liberty and freedom. We can laugh at our own self-righteousness, the dumb things we believe we can do that will please God. I know of a church in London called Jai C and Friends. that really is made up of a group of burnt out and deeply wounded charismatics that were destroyed in charismatic legalism and all the machinations of 1980s and 1990s charismatic churches in London. They meet in a coffee shop on a Sunday morning, and over the cappuccinos, the pastor of this small group goes round the table and says, share this week when you were tempted to fall into legalism again and how the Lord reminded you of your freedom in Jesus and how that played out in real terms. So you hear stories of people saying, I woke up in the morning with a blinding headache. I immediately went back to my old ways without thinking it. I got the healing scriptures out, and I was confessing healing, and yet as I was doing that, the bongos in my head were going boom, chicky, boom, chicky, boom, chicky, boom. The pain was intensifying. Then I realized what I was doing. I was in legalism. So I went to the bathroom cabinet, popped two ibuprofen, made a cup of tea, played a London Symphony Orchestra CD in the background. 30 minutes later, I felt absolutely wonderful. Then I thanked Jesus for ibuprofen. Then I went to my work. And then as the people share round the table, the pastor gives a brief homily of freedom in Jesus. What that looks like in terms of boundaries, what that looks like in terms of living as a free people. So we want to flow in faith and grace alone, so we're authentic, so we can be honest with God, so we can be honest with ourselves and acknowledge the flow of character development. In faith, and we read about this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, there's a supply of moral excellence. And that's powerful, because the Father will never beat us up one side and down the other. When we're loose and casual, at least with our internal morality, He will say to you and I, Alan, you're living way below your position in my family. Have some moral excellence and see how that tastes. See what that looks like in your thought life, in your spirit, in your willpower. And that supply of moral excellence brings us to a place of knowledge very, very quickly. God is incredibly moral. His morality is the envy of hell, because there are many people there and many demons there that failed to get to heaven because of massive character issues, but primarily a character issue that said, I do not need Jesus. I do not believe in Jesus. Many people are in hell tonight, and my heart breaks for them, because they got to a place of saying, if there is a God, and when I die, He will look at me and say, William, you basically have done more good than harm when you lived upon the earth, so you are absolutely fine. A deficiency in knowledge is absolutely lethal. The great philosopher Dallas Willard, the late great Dallas Willard, said that because of this deficiency of divine knowledge in some people's lives, hell is the best that God can do for them. That's an unusual slant in what's a huge eternal question. But moral excellence supplies us with revelatory knowledge, and revelatory knowledge gives us self-control. That means we keep this very closed at times when we're tempted to say something, to help someone define their character with greater accuracy. Self-control makes us conversational at one level, but absolutely silent when it comes to straying away from God's moral framework. Part of our internal architecture is the knowledge of God's moral framework. And that is growing within us. Anything that causes you and I to deviate away from God's moral framework can only take place in our lives when we use the wrong words, when we get into agreement with the spirits that are tempting us, are seeking to lead us into destruction. But in times of self-control, if we say absolutely nothing, we do not give the devil a foothold, and we do not give him any material to work with. Self-control leads to perseverance, and perseverance only works best in our lives when we're at a place of internal weakness. Our position as believers in the formation of divine architecture is reflected in being weak in ourselves, that God's grace may be sufficient for us. So if the grace is not there to do something, we persevere. We see the options we have, but we choose life instead of death. Persevering in a dry season makes men and women of God out of us. Persevering in a season when we're in considerable internal pain makes us very precious in the eyes of God, because there we're offering something called sacrifice. All of us will be at different internal pain levels tonight. And I encourage you, as I encourage myself, to make our internal pain a sacrifice to the Lord, that we'll deal with it on a vertical basis rather than taking it out with the world around us on a horizontal basis. Perseverance leads to godliness. What a place to attain, that godliness has gone through a transformational process in our lives, and godliness is measured simply by brotherly kindness and brotherly love. When you're amongst people that have an incredible kindness about them, an incredible love about them, you're in the company of someone that sourced faith by the Word of God and developed in character, rather than just simply using faith to get possessions and finances and things. This is the best faith message we will ever hear. Because when we have character, God will give us all things, because he can trust us with all things, because we have the character to support it. And we read very briefly that when these qualities are increasing in our lives, they render us neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The attack of the enemy on every believer is to render the believer useless and totally unfruitful. We are of a caliber where we're not going there. We are of a caliber where we are willing to pay the price and persevere, that God's internal architecture in our lives will be our primary preoccupation. The question, Lord, what are you doing? Lord, what are you saying? Lord, your servant is listening. Lord, my life is in your hands. That's all part of the kingdom language that makes us a fledgling Omega people. In this prophetic environment, and as we bring the meeting to a close, the preaching to a close, I'm going to invite the Omega to speak to each and every one of us in these next few minutes from the future. We're going to give the Omega an opportunity to speak to my heart and your heart from the future. I'm going to believe him by faith that every human being in this sanctuary will get something from the Omega who's calling us from the future. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the Alpha and the Omega. I believe tonight, Lord, and correct me if I'm wrong, that I have correctly divided the Word of God, that we are transitioning out of an Alpha generation, a 20th century Pentecostal charismatic generation, and becoming an Omega generation, a post-charismatic church, apostolic and prophetic in nature, exploding out the way to change the world around us for Jesus. Now, Lord, in hushed tones and with complete reverence of heart, I acknowledge you as the Omega. I believe you are calling us from the future, but we are in the present. Lord, release your word into human spirits right now. I believe you, Lord, to release your word into human spirits and to speak to us from the future. Speak to us from the future that we may hear your voice as a fledgling Omega generation. Hear the word of the Lord. Pay attention to impressions and pictures. A sense of a trickle or a movement in your spirit. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord is speaking to you. The hand of the Lord is upon you. Now enter into a dialogue with the Lord. Ask him what that means. Ask him to confirm, Lord, is this really you? This moment is designed to be a starting point. You're entering into dialogue with the Lord. And what he's giving you, he wants to change the shape and form of your believing, the shape and form of your internal life. Your interior life will change as you process the word of the Lord. I hear the Lord say, you are an meager generation. I will confirm this to you many times through my word in the months and years that lie ahead. I am raising up an meager generation in the United States of America that will be a remnant of truth and grace. The Omega generation will be characterized by an indomitable spirit, an indefatigable spirit that the enemy will not be able to overcome. I have given you as an Omega generation a mandate to bring down walls of division in the USA and to bring down walls of confusion in the USA. Many are saying this land is moving away from God, but the Lord says, I remember the covenant, the voluntary covenant this people made with me, and I hold this people to account to this day, and I declare that this nation belongs to me, says the Lord. An Omega generation will fight for this nation that the legacy of God may continue. And the Omega generation will be characterized by a spirit of warfare. The Omega generation will progress into a place of taking possession. And the Omega generation will triumph as this land, the United States of America, is known as a nation that celebrates Jesus. The Omega generation will bring forth a celebration of Jesus Christ in the United States of America. But beware, says the Lord, many of my children will fall away. Many of my ministers will fall away and say, I no longer believe that the scriptures are the word of God. I have a more reasonable faith. I have a more rational faith. And I will take components of truth from different bodies of knowledge to give me a more holistic view of life and a more holistic view of God. But the Lord says, this is the spirit of deception that is already in operation in the body of Christ. And beware, says the Lord, when my children begin the process by engaging in isolation. The beginning of deception begins with isolation, and then the spirit of this age bombards the minds of my children with liberal thoughts that appeal to human sentiment and human emotion. The Lord says, be in my number. The Lord says, belong to a body that declares when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, says the Alpha and the Omega to this generation of believers who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord says, immediately, drink deeply from the well of comforts. For I'm coming to comfort this house, and I'm coming to comfort the city of Elk River. This is a season where I'm comforting, but in that comforting, I will begin to provoke the city into godly action again. in the comforting. I will reaffirm my children and reassure my children that I remain the Lord of Elk River. I will be with the city forever. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. But know this, says the Lord, I will give you fresh prophetic utterance in the detail of your spirit. Pay great attention to the detail of your spirit in these days, for I will build walls of revelatory truth through the detail that begins to be birthed into your spirit in seed form. This church and this city has been going through cycles of recalibration, says the Lord. I have been galvanizing you as a people. I have taken you through refining fires. I have been burnishing you in refining fires. I have been deepening your commitment to me, and your loyalty pleases me, says the Lord. Your loyalty is a pleasant fragrance in heaven. But the Lord says, take the loyalty quotient I have given you as a weapon against the enemy, as a weapon against the deceitful spirits already in operation in the city, and know that my kingdom will continue to be built here, that my kingdom will come to Elk River, that my kingdom will be done in this city in heaven, and it will be done, says the Lord. My will be done upon the face of the earth. So be reassured this night, men and women of God, that I am with you and that I am for you as I take you forward as an Omega generation. For I am truly with you, says the living God. Yes. Amen. What did the Lord speak to you? Was the Omega communicating with your spirit? Were you receiving a flow of prophetic consciousness or impressions or words that kept dancing up and down before you in the screen of your mind? Were the pictures? I encourage you before you go to bed tonight to write down what you believe the Lord gave you. Don't worry if it's not polished. Don't worry if it's a bit raw and clumsy. The Lord will define what he gave you and refine what he gave you. But share it with the leadership of this house. If you're from another church, share it with the leadership of your home church. Share it with one another and see what divine imprint has been put on your life as the fledgling Omega generation. I've learned something tonight. I didn't know that I was part of a fledgling move of God called the Omega generation. I like that. I was preaching to myself tonight. You are more than welcome to listen. But I feel a certain kingdom pride in the right sense of the word of being part of a fledgling Omega generation. And I'm set free by the fact I don't really have to know anything. I'm set free by the fact that I'm willing to go into further cycles of development, to let God do the work, to agree with his choices, and to see the ongoing construction of divine internal architecture under the skin, taking place in the thick Scottish skull, and moving around my Scottish spirit. that as an Omega generation, we can go on a fresh journey together and believe for the goodness of God in this new generation.